It's good to have you here today. And yesterday, we continued to learn about the pure holiness of the living God. Who is God? God is holy. Specifically, we talked about the dynamic relationship between Jesus Christ and the Day of Atonement, and we affirmed that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And this is bringing us near the end of our journey across Exodus and Leviticus for now. And what has been my purpose in being your guide as we walk along as a tour group amidst the scriptures? Well, I've wanted to show you how pervasive God's holiness is. His holiness deeply affects our holiness. And the building of the tabernacle and then all of the instructions concerning tabernacle service by the priests and the high priest certainly demonstrates that God expects his people to be marked by holiness. Our character is to be holy. Today I want to read and comment on a couple more passages right at the end of the book of Exodus, and then soon I'll come to a signature passage in Leviticus. Exodus 40 is the final chapter of the book of Exodus, and I'm reading the first 8 verses so that I set the scene for what God commands in verses 9 and following. If you have your Bible, pick it up and join me in Exodus chapter 40. If you're driving or otherwise occupied, will you commit to read this before bed tonight? I hope so. In fact, I'll pray for you to do so. This is Exodus chapter 40, verses 1 through 8. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "On the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall place the ark of the testimony there, and you shall screen the ark with the veil. You shall bring in the table and arrange what belongs on it, and you shall bring in the lampstand and mount its lamps. Moreover, you shall set the gold altar of incense before the ark of the testimony and set up the veil for the doorway to the tabernacle. You shall set the altar of the burnt offering in front of the doorway of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall set the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. And you shall set up the court all around and hang up the veil for the gateway of the court." Now, what is all of this? Well, the Lord is speaking to Moses, and God gives direct and clear instructions on how the tabernacle is to be set up on the first day of the first month. Now, some of this we've already talked about, and others I wish I had time to cover, but I'll need to save that for another time. I'll say this, however, if you have any questions, write to me with those, and I will answer you. My email address will be given at the end today, but I'll tell you what it is now. mark@markaswallow.com, and Mark is spelled with the letter K. It'll be my pleasure to correspond with you about your questions, and I really mean this. There are no stupid questions. Do not be shy or forget. Write to me today. The main reason I read all of these 8 verses is because you need to know the context as we come to verse 9 and following. So listen as God continues to communicate exactly what he wants. I'm continuing my reading in Exodus chapter 40, and this time verses 9 and 10. "Then you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and shall consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all its utensils, and consecrate the altar, and the altar shall be most holy." The word holy is used in each one of those verses. In verse 9, Moses is to anoint and consecrate, or set apart, the tabernacle. And then listen to this, all its furnishings, and it shall be holy. I'm interested in the furnishings. What are furnishings? Well, whatever they are, they're to be made holy. In the Hebrew, furnishings are utensils. These are the objects, or can I say the tools, used within the tabernacle. This is repeated in verse 10. All its utensils shall be most holy. Do you see what I see? God's holiness is so domineering that even the utensils, the objects, not only the people, must be holy. The anointing oil is to be used to anoint the whole tabernacle and all that is in it, furnishings and utensils. Let me use an analogy here, as limited as it is. Imagine that you reach your hand into the drawer in your kitchen one evening and search way at the back for a big spoon, a utensil that you hardly ever use. But tonight you need it. But when you pull it out, you find that it's covered in small pieces of a black substance. In horror, you drop the spoon. You know what it is from previous experience. The substance are mice droppings. Mice have been in your drawer. Now, I don't know about you, but if that's me, here's what I do. I immediately rip apart that drawer. I take out all the utensils, spoons, knives, forks, chopsticks, measuring spoons and cups. I dump it all in the sink and I find the strongest cleaner available. I dump that in there all over my kitchen utensils and soak it in steaming hot water. And then I go about solving the bigger problem. How are the mice entering my home? And where are they living in my home? And how do I get rid of them? Well, maybe the analogy helps here a little. God will not allow for even the utensils used in the tabernacle service to be unclean. These inanimate objects must be anointed and consecrated, set apart as holy. They must be clean. Otherwise, they cannot be used. If the utensils are stained with the droppings of human sin, if they are diseased with disobedience, then these utensils, these furnishings, these objects and tools are unusable. This is the message that God is giving to Moses. And I very much want you to understand this about God. He's obsessed with holiness, even the utensils. And then, as the book of Exodus winds down, in this final chapter, let me read Exodus 40 and verses 12 to 13. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him that he may minister as priest to me. The utensils, the furnishings have been made holy, and now here come the priests. They are brought to the doorway and washed with water. There is the cleansing again. The holy garments are to be put over Aaron's washed body. Then Aaron is anointed and consecrated. The utensils are anointed and consecrated. And Aaron is anointed and consecrated, set apart. And then Aaron and his lineage begin to serve holy God in his holy tabernacle. And did Moses do what he was commanded? Yes. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 16 says, "Thus Moses did, according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did." And verse 33 says, "Thus Moses finished the work." Moses, the great leader and man of God, did what the Lord told him to do. And yet notice this, Moses himself will not enter the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could enter there once a year, and Moses is not the high priest. That sacred duty belongs to his brother, Aaron. And now, for the crescendo of Exodus, chapter 40 and verses 34 to 38, the glory of God fills the tabernacle. Let me read this to you, and you're going to want to really pay attention to this. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night, and the sight of all the house of Israel. Oh, how I cherish these words. Can you imagine this? Once Moses and Aaron and the people of God have prepared the way for the presence of God, as people and tabernacle have been made holy, then holy God descends in glory to fill the tabernacle. Cloud cover. But this isn't a cloud that the meteorologists on channels 4, 5, and 7 could have detected. This is no weather pattern moving in. This is the presence of God, the very presence of God. And remember, the tabernacle is meant to be moved. It's movable. The Israelites are on the move, and God is their GPS. Verse 36, throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. Just imagine, when was it time to go? When the cloud, filled with the glory of the Lord, was lifted. During the day, that cloud was on the tabernacle, and then at night, there was the fire of the Lord. The Bible says all Israel could look out and see it. Holy God is moving among his people. It was the cloud by day and the fire by night. How about that? This is rich in instruction for us. I want to draw out just one lesson. First, this is what happens when you and I obey the commands of God. Does it sometimes seem to you that God's instructions are tedious, detailed, and hard to follow? Just remember, every command that God gives, He gives for a reason. And when we obey Him, when we do what He wants us to do, then we're rewarded with the grace of His abiding presence that will lead us, guide us, and protect us on our journeys through this life, which is filled with danger on every side. Second, my friend, are you not sure what to do today? Do you feel lost and confused? You know why you feel this way? Well, I could say with confidence that you are experiencing this because you have not obeyed the commands of God in your life. And that sin is what is separating you from God's presence. If you're a Christ follower, has your zeal to do what God wants you to do waned? Are you living as you please and then just popping into church on Sundays? A one morning a week kind of attentiveness to the living God isn't going to do it. You will definitely feel lost and confused if you do not commit yourself to obedience every day. Use the service of the people of God in the tabernacle as motivation in your own service to God. Please, dear Christian, repent of your sins today. If you're not following Christ, that's your number one problem. All who do not put their faith and belief in Jesus Christ are lost. And not just now, but lost for all eternity. It is absolutely impossible to feel the presence of God without first submitting yourself to Christ. Jesus is the way to God, and what you need to do today is begin to follow Him by repenting of your sins. Will you abandon your sin today by trusting in Jesus Christ and following Him? Consider this seriously, each of you, and then please come back tomorrow and join me, for God is.